And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, co-host, and with me is Matt Smith. In the second episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith, I'll ask Matt his thoughts on the opening match for Fulham against Cardiff City. Later on, we will discuss potential coaching issues for Fulham currently. The show will be looking at Fulham from a coaching perspective, so I'm curious to hear what Matt has to share today. Before we get started, I want to welcome back my friend to the second edition of this show. Matt, welcome back to the Coaching Corner.
Hey, Russ, it's good to be back. It's been a couple of weeks and ready to make this a more consistent thing on my schedule.
Well, listen, I look forward to doing more shows like this with you because I am interested in looking at Fulham in a little bit different way, like I said, from a coaching perspective. And that's why I wanted to do this show with you. And this is, again, the second episode of many that we're going to do. And we're gonna break things down. I'm going to let you really break down Fulham and go a little bit deeper than we normally would on the regular Cottage Talk show. So let's get going. Let's get right into it. Let's look at the Cardiff City match for Fulham. And let's just start here. Just give me an overall view of the 1-1 draw for Fulham against Cardiff.
Well, I think that what we saw, hopefully, if it continues like this, is I think we saw a very different Fulham team in the way that we played last year. We definitely played with deliberate width. You know, we didn't play the tight 4-4 diamond in the middle 4-4-2. We played with two true wingers, even though Kearney likes to cut in a little bit, but still we played with width. We played with height, obviously with Matt Smith, obviously physically height, but also in terms of team shape. You know, we kind of played some no nonsense stuff. And in times, you know, it's not the prettiest to see. I know it's not what maybe some either football purist or even Fulham purists would like to see at times, but you know, this is the championship and we've got to kind of mold to the way of what's going to get us results in this league. I think overall, I think you gotta say it's a point gained, not 2 points lost, even though how we lost the 2 points was tough, losing in the last, you know, losing or them equalizing in the last 4 minutes. That's always tough to deal with. But I think if you look at the match as a whole, I think a draw is, I would say, a pretty fair result. If not, maybe even us, you know, getting the best end of the luck.
Listen, I hear you on that, Matt. And before we move on and really break down, I want to talk about the end of this match. I want to get your thoughts. I talked about this on Cottage Talk. One of the things that I noticed that was a little bit different from Fulham in this match than, say, last season was the fight back after giving up the goal. Did you see something different? Did you see a different mentality like I did after they gave up the goal?
Oh, I see a different mentality as a whole, not only after we gave up the goal to come back and fight back and try to get the winner and actually have a couple good opportunities to get the winner. You know, even just all through the match, you know, when we went up 1-0 last year, it was like we were trying to protect a 1-0 lead and we were scared to go forward. But we really showed a lot less fear to just keep playing the game and to look for a second, you know, and, you know, so just the commitment from the players in terms of, you know, not sitting back and not taking a point and trying to go for the win at the end of the game, I think shows some very good signs.
I totally agree. And, you know, I'm glad that you brought it up that it's not just about the fight back that I just focused on. It's also about the mentality when they went up 1-0. You know, again, they went for it. They were trying to get that second goal, and that was something that I mentioned on Cottage Talk Extra Time. That, to me, is a change of mentality that I want to see moving forward that hopefully will show itself more and more as the season progresses. All right, Matt, let's move on. And what I want to do here, we're going to break down this Cardiff City match, but we're going to break down the different levels of Fulham. Let's start with the goalkeeper. Let's start right there. Just break down the play of Andy Lonergan in this match.
Well, I think we officially have a goalkeeping controversy. Okay. Because I thought Lonergan was fantastic. I thought, you know, he misplayed one corner in the second half. Kind of came out when he really had no business coming out. You know, he handled things well. He made saves he was supposed to make. He made a couple very nice reflex saves. His distribution was very deliberate. You could tell that there was a plan for where they wanted him to go with the ball, specifically to Matt Smith. But you know, I thought that he played very well. And I think that you know, I think we have a that Marcus Bettinelli has a, you know, has a job on his hands to either A, keep his job, or B, win the job back. And so I think that there's nothing bad about this, but I thought Lonergan played very well.
Well, that's great to hear. And listen, I was going to ask you this a little bit later, but we can just talk about right now, considering we're talking about Lonergan. Do you think Kit now has two viable options at his disposal to start? I mean, I mean, again, this might be a battle now.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting, because with Bettinelli being a young goalkeeper, you never know how he's going to react to having been the number one and then having to fight back for his job. I think it's a lot easier to fight for the job when you're the number two than it is when you used to be number one, if that makes sense. It takes a different mentality. Can you deal with the adversity of hey, I was the starter, now I'm the backup, and maybe I'm only getting in cup games. Do I have the mental toughness, to be able to still challenge for my place? And I hope he does, because he's a very good goalkeeper. And I think that we do have two pretty good options right now. Obviously I need to see Lonergan a little bit more consistently. But with his experience and where he's been, you like to think that this wasn't just a flash in the pan, that he actually is, a viable option. So I think it's never bad. It's never bad to have two good options, because, it's a long season. We play a lot of matches, and we're going to need depth in every single position, that includes in goal.
Absolutely. Listen, I think it's a good problem to have. And, let me just say again, we're not going to be focusing on the Capital One Cup match that Fulham did just recently win. Again, that was a start by Marcus Bettinelli. He did play in that match, and we'll see who starts against Brighton and Hove Albion. But Matt, like you just mentioned, it's a good problem to have, and let's see how it all shakes out. And it's always good. Competition is always good. And I think we have two viable options. But again, maybe we need to see more from Andy Lonergan to really assess if he can be a number one. But again, I think it's a good situation. It's not a bad situation. All right. Matt, let's move on. Let's talk about the back four. Let's break down their play in this match. I'm just going to ask you a simple question. Did they get it done?
Well, I think from the scoreline, you have to say yes. Now, I do have some worries. If you can break it down even further than the back four, the outside two, I thought, played relatively well. I thought that they got up and down. Sometimes Jazz Richards was a little bit slow to get up, especially towards the end of the match when he was tired. But I thought that they supported the attack well. I thought they defended pretty well. Really, where I was more concerned was our two center backs. Really didn't think that they performed very well. I thought that you could really see what Cardiff City were trying to do was trying to exploit the gaps between the outside backs and the center backs. They were really putting balls into those channels all the time, consistently, and making our center backs have to defend, 1v1, 1v2, whatever. And so it kind of showed me some things, and I think if you break it down as a whole, you saw that Dan Byrne, had some decent moments. But they were him and Hutchinson were leaving way too much space in front of them between the center midfielders and them. People were picking up balls in front of them and being able to turn and run at them. They were having trouble stepping out into those channels that I was just speaking about to defend one-on-one. Did they get the job done? Yes. Was it pretty? Absolutely not. Do we need help? Absolutely, we need help in those two positions. Because I just don't think that from a mobility standpoint, from a strictly athleticism standpoint, that's really where we want to go. And I believe that that's why we played a little bit more direct in terms of playing long balls wide and playing long balls forward than we typically do, because we had to get the ball. That was kind of Kit's thing, was, hey, let's keep our backs under the least amount of pressure. And that's what that does, is basically makes your team play a little bit longer passes so that even if they win it, they're further from your back four.
Interesting take there. So you think that this is part of the strategy from Kit was to alleviate potential issues that the center backs were going to be having?
Absolutely. I mean, I think an excellent example is when we had a free kick in the back.
Yeah.
Our goalkeeper took it, not our center backs. So there was no option of us playing short or us trying to keep the ball in the back. There was no, I mean, if a goalkeeper steps up out of his box and is taking a free kick, it's going long. And so we had no desire to play the ball short between our two center backs. That just wasn't, and it's, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just kind of the way that we have to play, and that's perfectly fine. But it is worrying when we play some of the top teams, the Derby Counties and the Middlesbroughs and things like that. You know, when they're under constant pressure, you know, are we going to be able to keep up?
Very interesting. And again, we'll be talking about at the very end positions to strengthen. And I have a funny feeling, Matt, you're going to want to talk about the center back pairing. But we'll get there. We'll get there at the very end, because I definitely want to talk to you about positions that Fulham need to strengthen. I think that at center back, I got a funny feeling you're going to agree with me on that. But let's move on, because again, here's a part of the Fulham team I really want to get your thoughts on. It's the midfield. Again, I'm fascinated by this midfield. I think it has tremendous potential to be dynamic. Matt, what did you see in this match from the midfield before?
I actually thought that that they played very, very well. Like I said, we played with deliberate width, which is completely almost 180 degrees from what we played with last year, which is really nice to see. I think Kearney and Pringle are going to bring something that we just haven't had, which is two dynamic outside midfielders that we haven't had, at least didn't have last year, you know, that love to get down the wing, that and Pringle loves to deliver across. And that's something that I felt like we really lacked last year. I felt like we didn't really have anybody except for maybe Ross McCormick who wanted to even cross the ball, or even could. And, but you know, we need Ross in the, you know, centrally, but I thought the midfield was great. I'd tell you, Jamie O'Hara, you know, in the first episode that you and I did together discussing Jamie O'Hara, I thought that he could be a good player for us. And, you know, as good as LVC is, there were times that O'Hara completely dominated our center midfield play and was fantastic. I think that, but then LVC started to get into the game and started to show his abilities and his abilities to link up with the forwards and things like that. And, you know, it was a very good sign to me. I thought that our midfield played very well. And I think that, you know, if we can get some depth in there and if those two can keep those kind of performances up, that, you know, we're going to be very good. But I thought, you know, O'Hara was fantastic in just switching the point of attack from side to side, from side to side. You know, being unpredictable, being able to slip in a pass to a forward here and there, and things like that. And those kind of things are important in order to not only build an attack, but sustain an attack, you know, to not force the ball into where it can't go and things like that.
No, very interesting take there, Matt. And listen, I don't think it's an accident that Jamie O'Hara has been named, you know, again, the man of the match for both matches. This includes the Wickham match. And what's interesting, I'm going to share this with you. Our co-host Mike Gregg was tweeting. He was at the match, and he tweeted out that he believed that by far Jamie O'Hara was the best player on the pitch by far. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I don't know exactly how he put it, but again, I think Jamie O'Hara could be the steal of the championship. Meaning, we got him on a free. He's at Fulham, and he might be really a potential player of the season. And Matt, you know, again, this is something that Mike Gregg and I talked about, and I want to get your thoughts, and I think I might have even mentioned this to you. Fulham have had this huge hole since Danny Murphy left. Has he potentially filled that hole?
I think absolutely, if he can play how he did in the first two matches. I think that he is – what Murphy was is not only was he kind of a – it was weird because not only was he a driving force in terms of intensity, but he was also a calming force. He also, when he got the ball, he never seemed flustered. He never seemed to be in a hurry, you know, just seemed to be very under control, and he helped dictate the pace of the game. And that's what we've missed is Murphy helped dictate the pace of a game. And when you don't have that player, then you are actually – the pace is being dictated usually by the other team if you don't have the player that can do that. So Jamie O'Hara has been doing that for us and definitely did that against Cardiff. I haven't really been able to see the match against Wickham, but in the match that against Cardiff, he was definitely controlling the pace of the game, and he was gonna basically decide, do we go fast or do we just switch the point of attack and keep the ball? And so it was very, very impressive, I thought.
Okay, fantastic. And before we move on, because again, I'm fascinated with this midfield, I do want to ask you about the play of Kearney and Pringle. You talked a little bit about it, but first on Ben Pringle, I want to get your thoughts because I think he has a really special left foot. And I think crosses in the box, I think are going to be huge for him. But I think he can do more than that. I think he can also score goals. What are your thoughts? What did you see from him beyond what we've already talked about in this match, Ben Pringle?
Well, what I saw was his willingness to defend. To play a whole complete game. There were times that, they have us kind of in our defensive half, and then all of a sudden Ben Pringle wins the ball and you don't know where he came from. But he wins the ball for us and we go the other way. And, he's a great crosser of the ball. That's going to be great for us, especially moving forward if we play with the front two that we had. Not only that, but he can deliver it from different areas. The on the goal that we scored, it was from a very obscure area to really put in a cross. But what that did is it kind of caught the goalkeeper off guard, I think, was really what it did. So, so his abilities to be able to link up with McCormick and Smith and not only from through crosses, but just, combination play on the wings and things like that. Because, he's not the fastest. He's not a burner. But I think he's a very smart runner. And what I mean by that is he knows when to turn it on and he knows how to take pursuit angles and things like that in order to get the most out of the pace that he does have, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. And it's funny because while you were saying that, I was thinking of a former Fulham player, Damien Duff, and in his, I guess you could say the end of his career, he didn't have the speed that he obviously once did, but he did have some speed, but he also had that just knack of being at the right place, the right time, and also being able to go back and forth. And I'm glad that you brought up the defensive qualities of Ben Pringle, because I think that those are going to be important. Unfortunately, he did fall down on that goal, the wonder goal by Newman. I don't blame him for that, but again, But he was there, and that goes back to you talking about playing two ways. Going back, he did fall down, but very good point by you, Matt. He did go back defensively.
Yeah, and it's it was just unlucky. I mean, that's pretty much all you can chalk that up to, is just being unlucky and just the worst time to slip, to be able to give that. To give the player room to have the strike. And it was a great strike. I mean, I'm not sure, who knows? I'm not sure he would have been able to block it anyway. But you'd like to have seen what he could have done. But, Kearney, is a very similar player. He's not afraid to get up and down. He actually loves cutting in on his left foot, which I think is fantastic. Yeah. He gives us kind of a different look. Right. And so it'll be exciting to see how that, even though they're very, very far apart, to see how it's still a partnership. Even though they can be 70 yards apart at times, they're still a very big partnership with the outside midfielders, who makes runs when, into what spaces and things like that. So I can't wait to see that partnership grow.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's, again, this is the part of the Fulham team that I'm fascinated by, the midfielders, because I can really see the potential. Once they start playing more together, I think the sky's the limit for these guys. And I think that's only going to help us, because, Matt, last season, one of the most frustrating parts for me watching Fulham is that it felt stagnated. The team didn't – it felt so disjointed. With the midfield, I don't think it's going to be disjointed like it has in last year.
Yeah, and I agree. I felt like last year it was stagnant and it was very predictable.
Yes.
Teams just knew what we were going to do. And it was predictable because we really didn't have any other options. In the formation we were playing, we didn't have the option to go wide, that option or that often. But now, when you have those kind of players out wide, it keeps the outside backs back to have to defend our outside midfielders. It doesn't allow them to just flow freely up the wings like they did last year. And there's just, it's just an air of unpredictability in a good way. That'll kind of, make us harder to defend.
Okay, very good. Very, very good there. All right. Let's now talk about the strikers up front. I'm just want to get your thoughts about Ross McCormick, Matt Smith, and substitute Moussa Dembélé, who came in the end of the match. Well, how do you think they played in this match?
Well, they have Ross and Matt Smith have two very distinct roles. And it it sounds weird when I'm going to explain Ross's role as a very free, distinct role, but Matt Smith's role is to be the target. You're not going to see him coming back for the ball that often, unless it's to win a header. He's the target. He's the knockdown guy. Whereas Ross McCormick is kind of the guy who, big man, little man kind of combo, where he's going to run off of him and he's going to, have to get into wide spaces if he has to, anywhere to be able to get the ball, because really he is our playmaker up front. And so I thought they played really well. I thought Matt Smith was a danger. I know a lot of people don't like the way that we play when Matt Smith is playing, but I can't count too many times that he didn't win headers against their center backs. It's when you have that kind of threat up front, it's just like Peter Crouch for Stoke. It's always a worry. It's something that they have to know where he is all the time. And if that's the case, then they don't have time to worry about something else. Whether it's building out of the back for the attack or whatever, because they always have to know where he is. Ross, it took a little while, I felt, for him to get into the game. But I thought that he ended up playing really well. I thought that he was dangerous. He played some good balls through. He played some good balls through to wide players. That partnership, as we saw, they played together at Leeds. But I think that partnership could be very, very good. And with Moussa Dembélé, he didn't play too much, but his influx of pace was big. He pushed a ball by one of the center backs, and just the center back just fell down. Just couldn't keep up. And it was just sheer pace. It wasn't flash or anything. He pushed the ball by him and ran. And the center back just couldn't keep up. And so I think it could be, he could be somebody that could change a game and change tactics just by sheer pace. And so what that does is it makes the defending team have to change on the fly. And that sometimes can be difficult to do, especially when you're, 75 minutes into a game and pretty tired.
Oh, very interesting, because again, we're going to be talking a little bit about the different striking options that Fulham have in just a few minutes when we talk about potential coaching issues. But I think that was a very interesting breakdown of the strikers up front, and especially Moussa Dembélé, because I thought Moussa Dembélé gave us something when he came on. The question is, should he be playing regularly, or should a player like him be playing regularly, or should Matt Smith be starting? We'll be talking about that in just a few minutes, because I want to get your thoughts about the supposed plan B for the strikers. Should Matt Smith be a plan B? But we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But before we do that, we've already talked about the goalkeepers. You've talked about we have a good problem. So we've already talked about having two good options at as your starting goalkeeper. Can you tell me this is more Randy Larnigan, but so far so good. But now let's move to the midfield, because I think this could potentially be an issue. When Scott Parker does return, when he's fit to come back in, where does he fit in, Matt?
I think he fits in on the bench. From the performance that we had, I think he fits in on the bench. I think that what's great about Scotty Parker is that there are games for him. One that comes to mind is, a cold October or maybe been November night, midweek at Rotherham. That's Scott Parker's kind of game. And so there are going to be those kind of games where we have to go, to the middle of nowhere and, to a small stadium, cold, wet night in the midweek. That's going to be Scott Parker's game. And, from the two that play in the middle, I don't see a place for him in that starting lineup, not in that game, because what they brought defensively and in the attack, I think, is something that at this point in his career that Scott Parker can't bring for 90 minutes. But like I said before, you've got to have depth at every position just because there's so many games. There's just game after game after game, especially, if we make a cup run in one of the two cups, then you're talking about, another midweek game that you're dealing with usually. He's going to be a very important player for us, but he's going to be a very important role player for us. I just don't, these two keep it up and keep playing how they did. It seems like their partnership is really growing. And, then I think that his role is going to be, be there when we need you. you know, be ready to play all the time, but you know, you may not play all, you may not play very often kind of thing. So, but he is going to be an important player for us.
Listen, I agree, but I could actually see him as a role player, because I've been scratching my head trying to figure out how Kick can start him, or where he, you know, who would have to be sacrificed. And I don't think you can really sacrifice anyone right now, but there will be matches for Scott Parker. He should have a very good role on Fulham, but it just might be different than the last two seasons, which is fine. You know, again, I Scott Parker is someone that should be part of Fulham Football Club. I just think that his role this season could be different, and you're kind of validating that.
I think where we're lucky is I think that Scott Parker is the kind of professional that will take that and have ownership of that kind of role. You know, there are players that would really see that role and go, oh, I'm just not that important, and kind of tune out or check out and not be bought into what's going on. But I just don't see Scott Parker doing that. I see him as the kind of person who is a seasoned professional that's going to turn up for work every single day and work hard, try to make the people in front of him better, try to make himself better, and be ready when his name is called.
Okay, very good. And listen, on the flip side, since we're talking about the midfield, because again, I could see Scott Parker taking that role. We do have a young player, again, in the last year of his deal. I'm curious your thoughts on, where does Emerson Hyman fit in?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think when Parker comes back, it could be, you know, them kind of being the second midfield. I don't know if Hyman has the wherewithal to play in a two-man center midfield in the championship. I think when we played with three or four, he had some cover. So his, you know, lack of strength on the ball and lack of strength defensively and things like that, just pure physical strength, you know, he had some help in there. But when it's just two of them, you know, I fear that he may get bullied off the ball some and bullied in the attack. But because he is just kind of a slight kid, it's not, you know, I'm not saying he's not strong, but he is. But sure, he's dealing with players who are, you know, probably, you know, a good 25, 30 pounds heavier than he is. And it just is what it is. But, you know, he is a very good player. I think he does offer something. But I think that we may only see him in a rare cameo role.
Okay, very interesting take on both Scott Parker and, of course, Emerson Hyman. Let's move on. Here's a subject I definitely want to get your thoughts on. It's something that I've talked about off air to my co-host, because, again, and you'll see it on social media, talking about Ross McCormack. So I'm going to ask you, do you think Ross McCormack might be trying to do too much, as he does have a tendency to go deep into the midfield?
He does have that tendency. I didn't see it too much in the Cardiff match. Where I saw him showing more consistently was out wide, was into the wide channels. I thought that he was, I think more of what he was doing a lot was, if he dropped off, was basically dropping off of Matt Smith and dropping off, you know, and looking for play, looking to pick up balls that maybe he heads down and things like that. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think Ross is somebody that we want on the ball. I think that, you know, if it were Matt Smith dropping into the center midfield, trying to get the ball at his feet, then yeah, I think we have a different issue. But you know, I think that, you know, we want Ross with the ball. Now, I want him picking the ball up off the center backs? No. But, you know, to be able to step in and help out and combine in there with LVC in them, and then I think that's, you know, I think it's perfectly fine as long as he can ebb and flow with the game, which I think he can.
Okay, because that's been my contention here, is as long as he's in the flow of the game, Matt, I wouldn't have a problem with it. You know, again, I've seen players and, you know, try to do too much and then it can take away from what others are trying to do. I'm not saying that he's doing that. I'm just saying that I think if his role can be to basically, like you said, just be part of the flow and not affect negatively, but affect positively what everyone else is doing around him, I think it's fine. I just remember last season that there was a tendency, I thought, to do too much.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, I completely agree with that. But I think that could have been a product of how frustrated he was with results, and that he wanted to carry the team on his back. He wanted to, you know, he felt like he had to be the one to do just about everything, especially when OBC went down. And so hopefully he's got some help this season and he won't feel that need to, you know, to have to carry us.
Right. And it's funny because I've already been saying that I think that Ross McCormack could be the player of the season, because I think that a lot of these players have been brought in to help him. And I see him having a huge year. So don't take me wrong here, that I don't think that Ross McCormack is going to be very good for Fulham. I think he's going to be excellent. I just think that the players around him are going to make him a better player. I just don't want him to try to put it all on his shoulders. That's the point that we're talking about from last season. He doesn't need to do that anymore, because he has players around him that can actually help him and be part of the entire unit. So I guess it's just something to watch. It's something that I'm just remember from last season, Matt. I just want him to take his game to the next level. And I think the players that have been brought in can help him do that.
Yeah, and I just think that if, you know, as we go along, obviously we don't want to do, you know, the knee-jerk reaction and think that, oh, that this first game is exactly how the season is going to go every game. So, you know, you try not to do that, but at the same time you say, hey, if this is going to be a consistent thing on how the wingers play, on how the center midfielders play, and how we kind of can do that, then, you know, then you go, hey, he's going to be fantastic, because he's going to be a part of an attacking unit that's very, very good, not the attacking unit.
Exactly. If he could be part of it, that's fantastic, because I think he's going to flourish and score more goals than he did last season. I could see him scoring over 20 this year easily. I do, because I think he's got the talent around him that can get him the ball. I think you're going to see a huge season from Ross McCormack. So hopefully last season was just about him trying to put it upon himself, and this season he doesn't have to do that anymore. All right, let's move on. Here's a subject I'm very interested your thoughts on, because we've already been talking about the strikers. For them up front, in your opinion, should Matt Smith be starting regularly or be coming off the bench as a plan B? We've talked about this on Cottage Talk several times, but I want your thoughts on this.
Well, I think that, you know, just like with some other players, it's very similar in that there are games where maybe his presence up front is more of a hindrance to our attack than a positive. I think that there are games that maybe he's best coming off the bench and being kind of a tactic changer in the middle of a game, you know, as compared to starting it straight off. I thought that he started the game on Saturday and was fan. I thought he would drew a lot of attention to himself. I thought that, it just depends on kind of, is that how we're going to play? Is that how we want to play all the time? Or is that more, was that more of a Cardiff City thing? You know, our game plan against Cardiff City is to do this. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, in the next coming weeks, is that a consistent theme that we're going to play the ball long to Matt Smith's head? We're going to try to get the ball wide and cross the ball in. I could see it being a consistent theme, because that's what Ben Pringle likes to do. It's what Tom Kearney likes to do. Rice McCormack likes to get into wide channels and cross the ball in. So I could actually see that being a very consistent thing. But we'll just kind of have to see as the season goes on. But I think that he really attracts a lot of attention in a good way for us. I think that he's going to find that people are going to start maybe playing him a little bit more physically, just how they do with Peter Crouch. I use his that comparison just because of kind of their nature of play. I think that he could be, you know, a regular starter, or if that was just kind of a Cardiff City thing and that's how we're going to attack them, then it's going to be kind of a, hey, we're going to pick our spots on when to start and when to bring him off the bench.
No, listen, that's an excellent point, because again, when I was listening to the pre-match show, they were talking about the reasoning behind him starting, and part of it they believed had to do with the physicality of Cardiff City having these big players, and that it made sense to start someone like Matt Smith. So it'll be interesting to see if this is a consistent thing, or say it's different against the matches coming up against Brighton Hove Albion and Hull City. Does he start in those matches, or does he come off the bench? Because I could see him as being a very effective plan B. Every match. I'm not sure, Matt, but you know, I hear what you're saying, because he could be effective, especially with the players around him. You know, like you said, Tom Kearney and Ben Pringle getting the ball into him. But I could also see, I could see this being a game plan specific, like certain opponents you start him, certain opponents he comes off the bench.
Right, and I tell you one thing, you probably receive very rarely either way is him play 90 minutes. Because of the way that he plays the game, And because of just the physical nature that he's going to bring upon himself with playing in the air, you're very rarely going to see him play 90 minutes. Now, not to jump ahead of ourselves, but I think he will start against Brighton and Hove Albion because of their two big center backs, Dunk, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but the two very good center backs. So yeah, I think you could see him again in the starting 11.
Okay, very, very interesting take there, and again, very interesting discussion on Matt Smith. All right, to finish up on this second episode, again, we've already talked about this at the beginning, but I'm curious what you think Fulham need to do in the transfer window. We only have a few weeks left in it. I'll just say right off the bat, I think that they need to add a center back or two. That's where I start. Where do you start?
I'm going to start in the same place. I think that if we can sign Dunk, speaking of Dunk for Brighton, if we can say he was very good, I was able to watch him play in their season opener, and I thought he was very good. And if we could add him, that'd be great. If we could, you know, getting Garbutt back, I think is going to be a big thing too. But I do think that we need a solid season center back and an athletic center back that can play the game at a very high level, because I just don't think that we have the bodies right now that are going to be able to get us over the hump. You know, without us playing, having to play very direct. If we want to play a flowing style at all, then we've got to find another center back that's going to be able to do that. Because I just don't think that the two that we played with are going to be those players. So, other than that, I'd love to get Dwight Gayle. I'd love to get just some Premier League quality pace. So we'll see. And, you know, with Dunk, with a center back, you know, Brighton and Hove Albion just signed another center back. I'm not sure if you saw that, but they just signed another center back. So
I did see
maybe
that.
It's going to happen.
Right. And, you know, and just, you know, again, as the time we're doing this show, it's Thursday. I've also seen speculation that Newcastle are interested in Dunk. So we're going to have to wait and see how this all plays out over the next few weeks. And Fulham actually, again, there's speculation that Fulham are interested in James Tarkowski from Brentford. And then I saw last night the big speculation news, Matt, is that Fulham are interested in Tim Ream. But again, they are going up against they're battling QPR, who have put in several bids for Tim Ream of Bolton. So it sounds like Fulham are thinking the same way we're thinking, Matt. They need center back help.
Yeah, and I think it was glaring. I mean, to me, in the first 15 minutes, I could just tell how the game was going to go. I could just tell that's what Cardiff City were wanting to do. They were wanting to play the ball into those channels, make our center backs have to defend 1v1, because that's where our weakness was. And I think they were right. I think they showed time and time again that they really needed help and couldn't defend 1v1, had to have some covering help.
Okay, very good. And listen, I agree with you. You know, there's been speculation about Dwight Gayle. I would love to see Dwight Gayle at Fulham Football Club. And if they don't bring in Dwight Gayle, I just hope that they hold on to Matt Moussa Dembele, because Moussa Dembele, you know, again, there's speculation around him, you know, in the final year of his deal. I think Moussa Dembele can do a job for Fulham. We already talked about him. You know, again, if they don't get Gayle, I really think that they need to hold on to Moussa Dembele.
Absolutely. I think just the fact that it's a young player with international experience, with the kind of game-changing abilities that he has in order to be able to kind of flip the game on its head, you know, he's definitely an exciting player and somebody that I'd love to see develop at Fulham and not develop somewhere else into a very good player. So that would probably be the worst thing. But, I think that, you know, if you can bring in somebody like Gayle, I just think that you can't go away from it. I just think that you got to take that chance, because he's proven at the highest level that he can score goals. So, I'm very, very excited about this team, actually. You know, I think that with a couple of tweaks, you know, it could be a vastly different story than last season was.
I totally agree. I don't think we're that far off, Matt. A couple of additions and, you know, again, we could have a special season. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say that Fulham are going to get promoted. I'm just saying it could be very different than last season, like you just mentioned. And a couple of quality additions could take us over the top to having a special season, a season that is, you know, again, maybe top six, you know, who knows. But again, I think they need – to still strengthen, especially at the center back position. And I wouldn't be against bringing in a quality striker if for some reason they can get one. All right, Matt, listen, I think it's time to wrap up this second edition of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith. Any final thoughts?
No, I was very impressed with the performance. I think that I walked away from that performance very excited about the season. And I just hope that it's one that brings excitement back to the cottage. I last season I know was tough for a lot of people, just having to basically suffer through that season. But, we got our first point the first game of the year instead of the ninth game of the year. So I would say that, I think it's a good – it's a decent start, especially away from home at a tough place to go play. And, I think it's only looking up from here.
I agree, my friend. I agree. I look forward to the match on Saturday against Brighton Hove Albion. And then we're not far off from facing Hull in midweek. The matches come fast and furious. And I am excited about the season. Sounds like you are as well. All right, Matt, we're going to wrap up the show. Before we go, just a reminder, you can download College Talk on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. Also, you can listen to College Talk on the TuneIn app, which is available at most app stores for your mobile device. Well, that's going to do it for the second episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith. For Matt, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you again for listening to College Talk. Cheers, Matt.
Cheers, Russ. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Boys.